Good afternoon to you all. And as Mr. May said, good afternoon to all those of you listening in online. So last year around this time, I presented a message that asked this question: why do you keep the night to be much observed? And today, we're going to follow a similar approach, except we're going to focus on what happens just before the night to be much observed. Our question today is going to be this: why do we examine ourselves in preparation for Passover? Why do we examine ourselves in preparation for Passover? Now, for those of you who are not baptized, you probably don't have an answer for that. But for those who are baptized, you no doubt have some ideas popping to mind. But what I'd like us to do is to take a step back and really consider what it is we're doing and why we're doing it. In the lead up to the spring holy days, it can be easy to lose focus as we get caught up in all the physical preparations that we're doing. But when we do that, we can sort of miss the forest for the trees. Or to put it another way, we might lose track of the reason why we're going through this self-examination. Now, I'm not suggesting that this has happened to any of you here, but I felt like it was an appropriate time to set this reminder for myself just as much as anyone who might be listening to this message. So to recenter ourselves on what our focus should be, we're going to take a look at the instruction from Paul that he gave to the Corinthian church around examining ourselves, and then we'll look at two lessons from Christ that can help us maintain that proper focus. So the first place that we're going to head this afternoon is 1 Corinthians 11, so you can open your Bibles there. And we see in this chapter that Paul recounts Jesus' actions at his final Passover before his death. Now, there were issues in the Corinthian church with how they were keeping the instruction, and a correction needed to be made. So let's pick up Paul's thoughts in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll read verses 23 through 29. So again, this is 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now we see that Paul here is quoting Christ directly. And so he's establishing that what he's teaching, what Paul is teaching here, is no different than what Jesus originally taught. Continuing on in verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So right there in verse 28, we have a very simple answer to our question of why it is that we examine ourselves before Passover. It's because the Bible tells us to. That's a very clear thing. And the word used for examination here is quite interesting. It's the Greek word dokimazo. And Thayer explains that it means to scrutinize and then to recognize as genuine after that examination. So it means we're supposed to be taking a very, very close look. And then after that examination, we're looking to approve it or deem it worthy. As to what's being approved as part of this examination, we'll get to that in just a little bit. But there is an action that is being undertaken here in this examination. And Paul also implies that there is a specific time that we're supposed to be doing this. Just think about anything that you might be inspecting. For instance, you might be thinking about, well, how clean is my car really? Now, if you rush and you're doing things at the last minute, you're undoubtedly going to overlook something. You're going to find a packet of cookies in the glove box or some crumbs underneath the floor mat. On the other hand, if you take your time, if you do the work well in advance, perhaps even spreading it out over the course of a couple days, then you will be assured that you've done a thorough job of inspecting things and you've identified anything that needs to be resolved, and you can start taking steps towards resolving that. Now, that is the approach that we should be taking in examining ourselves. This is not to be some last-minute thing that we're stressing about, worrying about as we're driving to the Passover service. By the time you're driving here, that examination should have already been done. And it does truly need to be done over time so we can see our progress, as well as what other areas, what other opportunities for growth that we still need to take advantage of. And when we take that time, it's then that we can be settled in ourselves that we are truly ready to appreciate all that Christ did for us and taught at that first New Testament Passover. This is a tremendously important event in the church, as it led ultimately to Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. If we have not taken the time to properly prepare ourselves, to have ourselves in the right frame of mind for that night, Paul warns there is a danger. He says we could potentially be eating and drinking judgment to ourselves. Now, we might wonder, well, what does Paul mean by that phrase, eating and drinking judgment? He doesn't explain it more deeply in this chapter, because he goes back into the correction that the Corinthian church needed at that time. Fortunately, he addresses that in his second letter to Corinthians. So if you please turn over to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to go to chapter 13. Now, much of chapter 13, Paul is contrasting physical weakness with spiritual strength. And then the part that we see that further explains what he outlined in 1 Corinthians, we'll see in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. So again, 2 Corinthians 13, starting in chapter 4, or verse 4. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Now, the word that Paul uses for examine here is a slightly different one than what he used in 1 Corinthians. Here it's the Greek word parazo. While it can mean to examine, there's another very interesting definition for it. And again, I'll refer to Thayer's as they explain it this way. And it means this: to try whether a thing can be done, to attempt or to endeavor. So this means this is a much more intense sort of an examination. It's a very active thing that we're undertaking. It's not just studying the results of something that was recorded on a piece of paper. We're taking it, we're putting it through its paces, pushing it as far as we can go. And what is it that we're putting to the test this way? It's our faith. In these verses, Paul draws a direct relationship between Christ's sacrifice, our self-examination, and our faith. Yes, the Greek words Paul used for examine do have some subtle differences, but at the end of the day, they all have the same result. We're testing ourselves. We're proving out to ourselves just how strong our faith is. We're proving out to ourselves our belief in God's promises. Now, some questions that you might ask yourself as part of this examination might be as follows. Am I living my life in such a way that I represent God and Christ dwelling within me? am I fully embracing God's truth? Do I maintain a hope in the fulfillment of God's plan? In God's mercy, have I made progress since the last time I did this self-examination? Now, those are just a few of the questions that popped to my mind while I was preparing for this message, and you no doubt have others that you'll be asking yourself. Some of these questions are going to be very easy for us to say, yes, I'm doing well here. Others, when we ask ourselves the question, that might fall into, we'll call it the difficult category. Not that the question is difficult to answer, but that the answer that we're giving ourselves is difficult to hear, too difficult to acknowledge where we're truly at. But that's what this examination truly is about in a very practical sense. When we examine ourselves, we're looking in all those little nooks and crannies to find where spiritual leaven may have settled in. And when we find them, we're not supposed to pretend that they don't exist. We must acknowledge them, because it's only then that we can go to God the Father and ask for his help to completely sweep those out. On the other hand, if we don't examine ourselves, if we don't take a close look at what's going on inside, we're going to be like the ostrich sticking its head in the sand, just hoping the problem is going to take care of itself and go away. And if that's the path that we take, it's going to be exactly what Paul said is going to happen. We will be eating and drinking to our judgment at the Passover. And if that happens, ultimately we will be disqualified. Which brings us to another question that we need to answer. What is it that we would be disqualified from? If we don't accept Christ's sacrifice for us, if we're not actively looking for those spiritual crumbs that are hanging around inside our strongholds of our former self, as we heard, then we're not going to be covered by Christ's sacrifice. And if we're not covered by his blood, we will be disqualified from being invited to being part of God's family. We will be disqualified from being invited in to the coming kingdom of God. And that, brethren, is what I view as the forest that we find ourselves preparing in. Yes, it is good to focus in on the individual tasks, those physical checklist things that we're trying to get through, that self-examination, the de-leavening, both physical and spiritual. And individually, these are very important trees that we do need to give attention to. By examining ourselves, however, if we take that step back and consider what we're doing, we can see the progress we've made over the past year. This is something that can be difficult to see in our day-to-day. But if we diligently approach our examination, God can show us just how far we have come. But at the same time, we do still have to acknowledge how far it is we still have to go. And with God's help, we can work to address those areas as well. And then hopefully see progress there when we get to the next Passover season. These are good things to be done. These are good things that we are doing. But we must not lose sight of the reason why it is we're doing them. We must keep in mind that we are doing this self-examination so that one day down the road, we can hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," as we become part of God's Spirit family and enter into his kingdom. Now, to be sure, this examination, it's something we're commanded to do. But the ultimate reason we're doing it is to ensure that our walk with God is on solid ground, again, leading us towards that coming kingdom of God. These are weighty matters that we do need to consider. And are we going to be perfect? Well, I won't speak for any of you, but I will say I am definitely not going to be perfect when I do this examination. But that doesn't mean we should stop striving towards God's, the perfect example of Christ. And the only way for us to know how we're doing, how far we've come, and how far we have yet to go, it's to do that self-examination. Now, for the remainder of our time this afternoon, we are going to compare two different approaches to how that self-examination could go. both in terms of how thorough it should be, as well as how we should react to what we uncover. For these two, these are contrasting approaches we're going to look at, but we're going to rely on Christ's words to examine them. In the first account, we're going to see someone who was not thorough in their examination and reacted poorly when it was pointed out. In the second approach that we're going to look at, as a contrast, we're going to see someone who is very much all in that examination and striving towards the kingdom of God. So for our first example, let's turn to the account of the rich young ruler. You can find this in Matthew 19 and Mark 10, but we're going to go to how Luke recorded it for us. So please turn over to Luke chapter 18. Now, just before these verses in Luke 18, Jesus taught in parables about faith and how we should approach God. And then we come to this account of the rich young ruler. Now, this was not a parable, but an actual exchange that occurred and was recorded for us. So let's pick things up in Luke chapter 18 and verse 18. Now, a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." Now here, Jesus lists out the five commandments that deal with our interpersonal relationships. Now, this could mean that the young ruler was already doing well with the first four commandments dealing with the relationship with God. Or it could just mean that Jesus knew where the stumbling block for this young man was going to be. We're not told, but the result ends up being the same. At first, when the young man heard how Christ started off, he might have thought, "Oh, well, I'm doing pretty good here. I'm in good shape." In fact, we might have the same response. But let's continue on and see the rest of the account and see where the shortcoming in this young man's self-examination was. Verse 21, "And he said," that is the young ruler, "all these things I have kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when he heard this, he became sorrowful, for he was very rich. Now it seems that the young ruler thought that he had fully examined himself. He thought he was in good standing and was in the right place to be able to ask Christ this question. Unfortunately, he still had some crumbs that needed to be swept out. And it's interesting that when Jesus was teaching him or trying to show him what he needed to do, he framed it as storing up treasure in heaven. It was almost like Christ was trying to put it into terms that this rich young man would understand, or perhaps even be drawn towards. Despite that, despite the personal invitation to become a follower of Christ, the foolish young ruler walked away. He was not ready to give up that stronghold of his former self. I mean, he had examined himself. He thought he was in good standing. But when Christ pointed out what he had overlooked, he decided that God's way was simply asking too much. Even in the midst of this, Christ still found an opportunity to teach. He used it to teach his disciples then, and he uses it to teach us today. In the next verses, Jesus draws a direct analogy between this young man's response, his shortfall in the examination, and being able to enter the kingdom of God. Continuing in verse 24, "And when Jesus saw that he had become very sorrowful, he said, 'How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.' And those who heard it said, 'Who then can be saved?' But he, that is Christ, said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Now, I think many of us, when we're going through that self-examination, we feel like our response is going to be just like it was recorded in verse 26. Who then can be saved? But we should be encouraged that, yes, with God it is possible. Even in the midst of this account, which seems like it had a negative outcome for the young man, we still see Christ's care for that young man. He was trying to help him come to the correct outcome. God has that same care for us. He can help us find those areas that we need to address as we go through that self-examination. An examination is critical because it keeps us moving forward to the kingdom of God. Of course, that's not the approach that this young ruler had. He examined himself as far as he was comfortable with, and then he stopped. He avoided any hard truths that he might uncover about shortcomings he had. So this account, we should view it as a sort of cautionary tale in our own preparations. Now, let's flip to the other side of the coin and look at something that is a much more positive approach. And this time is something that Christ taught through a parable. And this is the parable of the treasure hidden in a field found in Matthew 13 and verse 44. So please turn there next. While this is just a single verse, it has a lot for us to unpack. So let's read the parable, and then we're going to dig into it a little bit more. So again, this is Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, the first thing you might have noticed in this parable is that while we tend to focus on the kingdom of God, Matthew uses the phrase kingdom of heaven. So, is that any different than the kingdom of God? Well, the short answer is no, it isn't. What Matthew is doing here by using the phrase kingdom of heaven, it was so he did not offend the Jewish audience that he had for his writings. And you can see this if you compare the parallel accounts, which are in Matthew 3:2 and Mark 1:15, you will see the phrase kingdom of God is used. So we're still on solid ground. There's not a second kingdom being introduced that we have to worry about. It's all the kingdom of God. But what we really need to focus on in this parable is how this man responded when he found that treasure. This man had a response that was immediate. And in response, he gave everything. And this is something that I know I've overlooked in the past when I've read through this parable. For whatever reason, when I would go through it, I would tend to blend it with the instruction that Christ gave about counting the cost. And if that's how you're viewing this parable, we might think of it more in terms of we're trying to save up for a large purchase. We're taking our time to prepare for something. But that's not what Christ is saying happened here. At the point that this man made his discovery, he has already counted the cost. This is understood because he went immediately. He sold everything right then and there. It doesn't say that he took time to save up. He didn't go talk to his friends for advice. Well, do you think this is a good idea? Should I do this to get this field, or should I look for something else? He knew what he wanted. He did not want to lose out on what he had found. He had already counted the cost. As a result, he went immediately and sold everything. And that is the level of commitment that God is looking for from each and every one of us. When we understand the truth of God's way and what His Holy Day plan represents, we must act on it. We must be willing to trade away everything to walk the path towards that coming kingdom of God. Now, in my own journey, this meant there was a separation that occurred in my family. All those traditions, all those experiences that I had growing up, well, those are no longer there. I'm not part of those anymore. There's a space in my family that I wish wasn't there. but I'm not in control of that. It's up to God to call them to open their eyes. Now, yes, some of my family did study on what I was doing. They looked on that same field that I did, but they did not see the same potential. And that's how I personally identify with this parable. And I hope that in some form, some way, that you can also see yourself in this parable. This one verse, there's a lot it can teach. Because it's seeing ourselves in this parable, it's critical. It's very instructive in our own preparations for Passover. So we are all striving towards that same goal, the coming kingdom of God. And anything that would keep us from that goal, anything that would distract us from striving towards it, that's what we have to be willing to get rid of. Not tomorrow, not somewhere in the future. Get rid of it today. And again, that's why we examine ourselves prior to Passover. And for those who are preparing in this way, we've already counted the cost. We've made that commitment to live God's way of life. We must view the end goal of that commitment, the coming kingdom of God, as the most important thing in our lives. If we don't, we run the risk of being like the members of that Corinthian church that Paul was admonishing. Actually, let's turn back to 1 Corinthians 11 and see what was happening that caused Paul to write about examining ourselves. So again, we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 11. Apologize for not telling you to keep a finger there. We're going to pick things up in verse 17. So again, 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 17. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Now, hopefully, none of us are experiencing divisions and factions among us. But if we are, that should be a giant red flag as we're doing that self-examination, something we need to take a closer look at. Continuing on in verse 20. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. With these words, Paul is pointing just how far off the path the Corinthian church had gotten. Rather than keeping their focus on God's way, the give way of life, they were focusing on their own physical desires. They were putting themselves first, rather than esteeming each other better than themselves. They sought to elevate themselves. And this was the situation that the church found themselves in. And as a result, Paul felt he needed to step in. He was reminding them of the solemn nature of the Passover. We don't even have to go to the next letter to the church to see why Paul felt this correction was important, why this self-examination was so critical. We can drop down to verses 31 and see what he said. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. When we examine ourselves, we are likely going to encounter some things that we wish were not there. Things that we need to overcome, spots that we need to work at removing. But God, he's not showing us these things so we can get down on ourselves and beat ourselves up. He's showing it to us for our benefit. He's showing it to us so that we may not be condemned with the world. At times, Paul's writings can be difficult to understand, but this instruction to examine ourselves, well, that's about the simplest thing I think that he's written down for us. Because he repeats, and if we missed it, it's written again in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, which we looked at. He adds more clarity to what the examination is. making it something that we are supposed to be actively testing and working at. We're pushing it to the limits, ensuring that we are on the right path. He does make it abundantly clear what the risk is for not doing this examination, that we might be disqualified. We might be disqualified from being invited to being part of God's family. We might be disqualified from being in His coming kingdom. That is why this self-examination is such a critical part of our preparation for the Passover and for the Spring Holy Days. Yes, our physical preparations are important. We need to do those. But without that look inside, without this self-testing of our faith, we're willfully turning a blind eye to where we might be falling short. Yes, we might not be aware of everything that's there, but think about it like the box of crackers that's hiding way in the back of the pantry. If you don't go through the shelves, you're not going to know it's there. It doesn't change the fact that it's still there waiting for you to find later on and smack yourself in the forehead, why did I not go through this shelf? So yes, we've gotten this far in our journey. And for those who have said, yes, God's way is the way for me, and for those of us who have made that commitment, who have been baptized, we still have yet another choice to make in our preparations. Are we ready to be like that man who found the treasure in the field, valued it above absolutely everything else that he had in his life? Or are we going to be like the foolish young ruler who turned down Christ's invitation and clung to the world? This is a choice that we are making each and every day. But whatever our answer is, we must be absolutely sure in ourselves of where we're at. And this sureness can only come by proving it. A sureness that can only come by testing. A sureness that can only come by examining ourselves. And this is something that we must all be doing. As we wrap up this afternoon, I'd like to read a few more verses from Matthew. And this is going to be in Matthew 13, and we're going to look at verses 45 and 46. And this is a continuation again of this, or a repetition of this treasure in the field. Matthew 13 and verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. As we're going through our preparations for Passover, for the Spring Holy Days, let's not lose sight of why it is we're doing these things. We all need to seek to keep hold of that priceless treasure that was fallen into our lives, that treasure of God's truth, of the coming kingdom of God. We should be doing all that we can to keep ourselves from being disqualified. And as we're doing that self-examination, as we're working forward in that way, let's let Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 be our guide. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Let us be sure that we know ourselves. Let us trust that, yes, Christ is in us. And as a result, let us all strive towards that coming kingdom of God.